All right, everybody all right? Amen. Man, I'm really excited. The reason being because, you know, I know God is in this place, and I know he has a word for each and every one of us, and it's just going to be super good tonight. So let's give him a round of applause because he is in this place. You know, I think the worship team makes our job so much easier because they just invite the Holy Spirit, and when he's here, it's not about us. It's just about him. Amen. What I want to do, I want to take this first couple moments to do some, I want to honor our shift pastors. You know, I think they would never do it themselves, so I'm glad that I got this opportunity, just because, I don't know if you guys know, but it's been just about a year since we've had new pastors. Pastor Luke and Pastor Joey, along with their wives, have taken over shift, and they've just done an awesome job, amen. So I want to honor them, because they are just, man, like they said, they're good friends of mine. And, man, they just hit the ground running. Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess had been with Shift for a while, and they just did they did an awesome job, and they passed the baton, and these guys hit the ground running, and it's just been a privilege to be there with them. So I just wanted to honor them, along with the interns and all the people who just make Shift happen week in and week out. There are people that love you guys. There are people that are praying for you guys, and I know your pastors are doing that. And so that is just with a great privilege that I'm able to just be up here tonight. So one more round of applause. I know we just... Also, I just want to introduce myself a little bit more. My name is Antonio, like he said, a.k.a. Tony, Tone, T-Money, Pretty T. These are all things that I've been known as now or in the past. Amen. My wife told me not to say Pretty T, but let's be real, that's what they used to call me. Amen. Just kidding. And you guys will see why. No, I'm just kidding. A little bit about myself. Like I said, I'm on staff here at The Rock. I have been for about 5 years now, and that's about how long I've been coming to Shift, and like I said, it's just been awesome. My beautiful wife, Angelina, is here in the front, and she was actually the second class of interns that came around, so she was back in the day, and we just both have a heart for our generation, have a heart for Shift, and so we're so glad to be here tonight. We have a son, Andrew, who's in childcare. Little seven-month-old gordito, little fat kid. He's just amazing, amazing blessing. He'll be 7 months actually on Saturday. So that's me. That's a little bit about me. Also, now, you know, I don't know. You guys know it's March Madness, right? Anyone following March Madness? March Madness is the NCAA or college university basketball tournament. Some people like college basketball a little bit more than the professionals sometimes. Because I don't know if you guys know, college athletes play with a lot more heart. You know, professionals, they get paid to play no matter what, whether they play hard or not. You know, you'll hear on ESPN, I know not everyone watches ESPN, but hang on for me, there'll be some for everybody tonight. On ESPN, you'll see, oh, this person didn't want to go to practice, this person's not trying hard. In college, man, these guys, because what they're trying to do, they're trying to go pro. So these guys don't take nights off. These guys are working hard every night. So some people opt to watch college football or college basketball. Well, the tournament's going on, and I don't know if any of you guys are on Twitter, but I follow Magic Johnson on Twitter. I'm a big Laker fan. Hallelujah, amen. Any Laker fans in the house? And it was funny because he was talking about, he went to Michigan State University, and they were playing UCLA. Praise God, UCLA won. I'll tell you guys that now. But he was just like, he called out Jaleel White. Please tell me you guys know who Jaleel White is. Somebody yell it out loud. And, you know what I mean? Like, say who he is. Urkel, thank you. I'm used to praying and preaching in the youth, and I feel so old in the youth, and I'm so glad to be with you guys here tonight because you guys can, when I say Jaleel White, you'll know who Urkel is. So I guess I don't follow Jaleel White, but Mike Johnson was like, sorry, UCLA fans. But Michigan State's going to beat you guys down tonight. And I guess Jaleel White must have said something to Magic Johnson, because the next thing you hear is Magic Johnson going, Urkel, man. He called him Urkel. I just thought that was funny, because he's like, look, Urkel. On Twitter, he's like, look, Urkel, sorry, you guys are going to lose. Well, they won. Anyways, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there's so much, I mean, I've even seen articles on which celebrities are going for which teams, and there's just so much pride in the collegiate teams and everything like that, and I can understand that, because there is such a esteem with, you know, they're a part of this school, and this school that as athletes or whether they're just students, they're just alumni and they're proud. I was talking with Pastor Luke the other day, and he had his CBU sweater. You brought it tonight, huh? He brought his CBU sweater, And I was talking about how I went to UCR, UC Riverside in the house. Anybody at UC Riverside? All right, yeah. So, man, I rep UCR like no other, man. I love UCR. I love where I went. And the reason is because, man, I had an awesome time there. I had a great sense of people there. If we could show the picture of my community at UC Riverside, I don't know if we have it. That's me right there on the right. I know what you guys are thinking. You're right. I was the only creative writing major of the group. I was. You're right. I know. I stick out like a sore thumb. Creative writing majors always do. So I had an awesome time at UC Riverside. You can go ahead and take it down. We have a couple Bravehearts in the back. A couple of my friends came out to hang out. So what I'm trying to say is, man, I had such a great sense of community. And I think that's why there's such great pride with people that have their alumni, because they rep where they were from. They rep where they were in college and where they studied, because there's just an awesome sense of community while I was there. I had a good time at UC Riverside. That's why I always rep it till I die, alumni. UC, I don't know the song or anything like that, but I would sing it. Maybe I'm not the best person, but anyways, what I'm saying, we're talking about community. And I had a sense of community at UC Riverside that allowed me to understand community in a different level. It was my peers. It was who I hung out with. Funny story about these, a couple of the people from that, I met two people at a orientation, summer orientation that I did. And that stemmed from, oh, I like football. You guys like football? Oh, yeah, we have a football team. Come out and play with us. So I went out and started to play with these guys. And these guys were serious. I was like, hey, I don't play to lose. I mean, that's why we were champions. I'm telling you, man, it was just intramurals, and all you won was a T-shirt, but you would have thought you were playing for millions of dollars because we didn't play out there. I mean, it was not intramurals. It was like, there would be people, like, it sounded like a stadium, and I'm just going back memory lane because it was just so fun. But what I'm trying to say, so I get off topic sometimes, and forgive me, bear with me, because I'm just really excited, guys. Anyone excited tonight? So there's a sense of community, right? Based on, you might just meet a couple people. And we're finishing up this series. And right now, actually, it kicked off the campaign. The campaign Shift Community is not just a funny or a cool slogan or just a cool series to get stuff started just because, oh, we have to have series, everybody has series. No, the heart behind Shift Community is because we want to build a community here in our young adults. Amen? Do you guys want, because I know for me, my heart goes with it because I've had communities in my life. And I know that my choices in my life, good or bad, were attributed. I can attribute them to my life experiences or who I was around at the time. Whether it was a good or bad decision, you know, I could tell you because of my community had something to do to influence that. Now, in high school, all my friends that I hung out with, you know, we messed around, we had a good time. But we weren't gonna. We were pretty good students. We knew that we were gonna go to college, so we didn't play around when it comes to our classes. That was my community of people. If I go look around my group of friends, they went to their schools, Berkeley, whatever, UCR, UCI, different areas. That was just the community I was in. We were focused on going to school. Bad decisions I've made. I don't have to tell you my bad decisions, but you can imagine some bad decisions, and I can attribute them to bad community or bad people that I was around. So I want you guys to understand and grasp the idea of community, and that's what we want to talk about. We want to establish a solid community, amen? So what we want to do, before we get too far into it, I'm going to pray because I need God, and it's not about me, like I said. I know I'm talking about a lot about me, but I resort to that when, I don't know, I mean, I just do that sometimes. So we're going to pray because it's not about me. We need God in this place, and He is here, and He's going to teach us. So let's go before Heavenly Father. Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you are in this place tonight, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you that you are the teacher of the house, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are going to bring an awesome message tonight, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that there is something special for each and every person, Father. Lord God, open the ears and open the hearts of every person here, Father God, that they would receive something, Father God. And we just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm looking at the clock. We have 2 hours, right, Pastor Luke? Okay. All right, good. We're good. So just now that we're going to get started, I want to give you guys a real quick stat. Let's see here. Statistics show that those who are interactive and make noise during preaching are 100% more likely to go to heaven. Amen? So let's make some noise tonight, guys. So, I mean, we're going to, let's clap our way into heaven. Amen. I'm going to tell you guys a quick story. I'm full of stories tonight, and, you know, I don't know why. My first time at Shift, actually, it was in this room, not 5 years ago. Actually, I've been coming to Rock for about 9 years. When I was, a second year at UC Riverside, my mom had, hey, Mijo, you only come to church once a week, because I was coming every week, but I was still doing my own thing at school, and I wouldn't really do much more than that. And my mom encouraged, hey, there's a young adults group on Friday nights. Go to it. And so I was like, all right, I'll go. I'll check it out. I came one time, and Pastor Joseph, my good old friend Pastor Joseph, our families have known each other for a while now. Pastor Joseph and I didn't really know each other too much growing up, but we had seen each other in passing. We both played soccer, and when you're good at soccer like we were, the world gets small. No, I was kidding. But no, we knew each other from playing soccer growing up and just in Riverside. And I came and he was up on stage and I was like, oh my gosh, I know that guy. Crazy. And so, but I came to Shift, probably like many of you come to Shift, not really knowing anybody, not necessarily knowing what to expect, but I knew that I was looking for something. I knew that what I was doing back in school was something different because I think Shift was at 8 o'clock at the time. And so I figured, okay, I'll go to Shift. It gets out at 9:30. I usually don't even start getting ready to go out till like 10, take a shower. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because, I mean, when you're in college, when you're getting ready to go out, 10 o'clock is early, right? So here I am. I was like, I'll go to Shift. So I come to Shift. I see Pastor Joseph. I'm like, oh, cool. I know somebody. And after service goes by, I don't really meet anyone. And then I'm like, oh, Pastor Joseph will talk to me, And nothing, man. Oh, hey, how's it going? Keep talking. And here I am like, okay, all right. I didn't come back to Shift, needless to say. But the reason why I said it is because I think some of you guys are like that. You come into Shift, I'll try it out, I'll check it out. We'll see who comes it up and talk to me, who goes out of their way. Because everyone, we want to say that we want to make you guys feel welcome. We call out the first-time visitors. We really care to see who you are because we love you and we welcome you guys. But I think everyone, I know I came, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I came wanting someone to go out of their way for me. I came wanting something more, looking for community, because now that I think back, I didn't want to go be doing what I was going to go be doing after Shift. I wanted to get plugged in somewhere, but no one came up to me, so I guess, hey, that's your sign, God. No, you didn't have someone come talk to me, so I'm just going to go, I won't come back to Shift. The reason I'm saying this, guys, and man, you guys are quiet tonight. Come on, guys, come on. Are my stories boring? I mean, I thought I was having fun, but you're making me feel like I have a boring life. I don't know, I have to reevaluate some things. No, just kidding. So that's my story at Shift. And like I said, I think some of you guys are like that. And what we want to establish here in this series is building a community. Building a community with you guys, because Pastor Luke, Pastor Joseph, Marnie and Stacy, or any of the ushers or workers, Michael and Krista, we can't meet every single person, but why should it be our responsibility? Sometimes you guys, can I talk to you guys for real? You guys have to go out of your way too. Last time I checked, I don't think dudes at the club go to wait for the girl to come to them to dance, right? Can I say that? I mean, I went a couple times, right? Why lie? I went to a club a couple times. And I didn't wait for no girls came up to me to try to dance with me, I'll tell you that. And I'm not the most, when it comes to that, I didn't really go up to that many girls to go dance. Hi, baby. But last time I checked, so why when we come to church, we want everyone, I'm going to sit in this chair, and if no one comes up to me after Shift, before Shift, then Shift just wasn't for me. God, you didn't want me here. Hold on, where are you getting your idea that it's just everyone else's responsibility? You know what I'm saying? Why is it just on everybody else? You guys can do that too, right? You guys, I mean, back to the club, right? You guys don't, I mean, that's just how it goes. You want to meet somebody in dating and anything we do in our relationships, our friendships. Like when I on the football team, I met some other guys. Hey, we start get talking and stuff grows from there. You guys know how that works. So building your community is the title of tonight's message. I know that's a long intro, but like I said, 2 hours. No, just kidding. Building your community. We'll go through this really quick. Building your community is the title of tonight's message. If you're taking notes, like I said, I really feel like God has something for each and every one of you tonight. So take this, guys. Why build community is what we're going to ask ourselves tonight. We're going to build, learn how to build our community, but we need to ask ourselves, why build our community? Because if you're coming in here cross-armed, why build our community? Well, point number one, break us out of ourselves. We're going to go to Scripture real quick, because I've been talking enough. Let's see what God has to say, because it's all about what he says anyways. Amen. Everybody have their Bible? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 24. I'm going to put it on the screens here. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much time more as you see the day approaching. Now, had I not stuttered in that verse, I think it would have been a little bit more powerful. But, you know, these notes are a couple weeks old. But the verse, I was reading over it again, and it, the end of this verse, you guys know what happened in Japan, right? A horrible thing in Japan. And every time there's a natural disaster like that, people are like, the end of the world. Well, did you guys catch the end of this verse? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day, capital D, is Jesus' return, right? As we see Jesus' return, it's so much more vital that we get off of our butts and start to meet people, start to build community, start to do stuff for Christ. Amen? So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up love and good works is saying that it doesn't just happen. We got to stir it up, right? Stir it up, right? Anyone does the song, right? I don't know if Bob Marley, whoop. But we got to stir it up, guys. Stir up love and good works. And what better than this generation? Man, this is an awesome generation. You know, we have the youngest billionaire, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. Man, we're coming up with the most awesome things. Our generation is doing some awesome things. Why not do some more awesome things in the kingdom? Come on, guys. I mean, really, why should the world take all the credit for what's going on? Us as Christians can do the same. We have the same entitlement. We have the same skills, if not better. And we have the hand of God on our side. So, breaks us out of ourselves. Why build community? Because it'll break us out of ourselves. Because sometimes we're shy. But you know what the Great Commission is? You know when Jesus, basically the Great Commission is what God left us to do when Jesus went to heaven and he gave us a job. He said, go ye out into all the world and basically make disciples, right? Go out into all the world. Now, in that verse, I don't remember it saying, if you feel like it. I don't remember it saying, if you have the personality. See, a lot of us, we're introverted, right? Well, that's a cool word. That's a cop-out to me. I was the outgoing person, but now as I'm starting to get older, I have a wife, I have a son. I work here at the church. You know a lot of people working at the church. There's always a party. There's always a baby shower or a wedding. Sometimes I just want to kick it at home. I get tired sometimes, right? I'm a little bit older. I mean, I'm not old by no means, 27. I'm young, right? 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 But I mean, it's not about me though. It's not about our emotions, because it doesn't say go out as long as you feel like it. Because it doesn't say go out when it's convenient. It says go out. So it's on all of us. There's no option, well, God made me this way, I'm just shy. No, God made you to go out. There's no, except if your name is this. There's no clause in there for your personality. And I'm not bashing on introvert and shy. That's honestly, that's just how your personality is. But I don't think that makes you exempt. Because you're still accountable for obedience. Tonight, some of you God is speaking to you tonight, telling you to go up to somebody. God is speaking to you tonight, telling you, go shake hands with that person. Go meet that person. You've seen them here 3 weeks, and you see them come, and you see them go out the back. Go say hi to them. Are you going to obey? I can't make you. God's not telling me. You are accountable for that. And not your shyness, not your introvertedness, if that's a word. Lucas, can you check me real quick? Lucas is our campus copyright. So he's writing down the notes, I'm sure. Is he even here? So, breaks us out of ourselves. One more verse. Let's go back to the word. Amen. Everybody okay? Guys, my prayer for this message is to encourage, but also to challenge, guys, because I think that it is enough to just, I don't think Pastor Luke, Pastor Joseph would have invited me up here if they thought I was going to tickle your ear, if they thought I was going to try to make some cool jokes and make everybody like me, because it's not about me, right? I think this is a challenge for you guys. It's a challenge for all of us, because if we're talking about the good, oh, let's be millionaires, let's come up with the coolest ideas. Wait, let's go back real quick, rewind to where it starts. Because it didn't just come, oh, our generation, we're doing such good things. Well, come on, the good things are going to come out from obedience to God, amen? All right, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. You guys there? Excuse me. I was singing too loud during worship. I love that song, Pastor Justin. Jesus. I'm kind of old school like that, so I like those old school songs. All right, verse number 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Pause right there. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Guys, he's talking to the church. Are we not the church? Are we not the church? Community can just feel the word for the church. As a community, let me give you the definition of community real quick. A social, religious, occupational, or other group sharing common characteristics or interests and perceived or perceiving itself as distinct in some respect from the larger society within which it exists. Dictionary.com. I don't want to plagiarize. But all that really means is like-minded folks. Whether it, in our case, as Christians, being of like mind, we are a community, right? We're a gathering in one place as a community. The church is where we are, right? Amen? So here he is, Paul, talking to the church, and he's saying, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord. Sometimes we get so caught up from trying to find each other's differences that our mind can't be the same. Because we're thinking about what this person didn't do, what this person did that makes me different, that we're so off track. How can we be a community if we're not out of like mind? That's what the word is saying, right? For us to be the church, we have to get on board, guys. Let's get on board. At this church, we have an awesome vision of what God wants to do in our city. Guys, get on board with the vision. Get on board with what God wants to do in our city, with what God wants to do in each and every one of your lives and the lives of people that you love. Because it's not about you. Like we said about the Great Commission, it's not about being saved. I remember as a child, I'll never forget this. One of my pastor at the time talked about Christianity as if it was in a vial. Like as if we had a cure to a disease that's going to just end the world, take everybody out. And as Christians, we have the vial with the cure. And sometimes what we do, because we know what happens when Jesus is coming, right? Or we die. It's heaven or hell. It's one option. Saved or not saved. So as Christians, if we were born again, we have this cure. And what we like to do sometimes is just pour it on ourselves, right? I'm going to bathe in this cure. I'm just going to drink this cure up. And we don't even think about passing it along to anybody else. Because it's all about how we like. Because I'm shy, because I'm an introvert, so I'm just going to be shy and a Christian and live your whole Christian life, not telling anybody about Jesus, not telling anybody about inviting anybody to church, but that's okay by you. Well, I wasn't called to be up on the pulpit preaching, but you were called with the same great commission that all of us were, right? So it doesn't have to be with a microphone, because you guys have jobs, you guys go to school, whatever you guys do, you guys have a voice. If you guys have a voice, you guys should be inviting people to church, inviting people to catch on board. If you don't know how to lead somebody into the salvation prayer, bring them to church. That's what our job is for, right? Encourage them, love on them. I'm sorry, I'm just getting excited, guys. I'm not mad at you guys, right? Are we okay? I'm not mad. How you feel is not important, guys. How we feel is not important. It's not about our emotions. You guys understand that? I think that's what we're talking about in point number one, breaking us out of ourselves, understanding that it's not about how we feel and what we do. It's about what he has called us to do and how to build community. Because if we want to see community built, it's no longer about us. All right, point number two. It makes us accountable. Ooh, the word accountable is kind of ugly. I remember first time I started hearing the word accountable, I used to hear it as people were kind of using it as an excuse to be nosy. People want to get in your business and say, hey, brother, I just want to keep you accountable. Tell me what's up. I'm just trying to keep you accountable. What are you going through? And then, right, we know who Angela Johnson is. I think that's so funny that bit that she does about in praying. We try to, you know, we use prayer to gossip, right? Like, bless this person who is going through this and putting everybody's business out there just in the name of spirituality and praying. And I'm just keeping them accountable, guys. Guys, accountability is not a word. It's not to be used to be nosy. It's not like, but it's an important tool. It's important for us to be accountable because the reality is we can't do it alone. We were never designed to do it alone, so we can't do it alone. We need God, right? So let me explain accountability. Accountability could be in many different forms. One form might be if you have a struggle, if you have an issue of a sin that you're continuing to go in, bring it to your brother or sister. Bring it to your brother or sister and you talk to them about it. Brother, I find myself constantly just picking up those cigarettes. I can't put them down. I want to stop, but I just keep putting them down. I can't put them down. I keep going to that website I don't want to go to. Or I have this girlfriend and we started having sex and I want to stop. I don't really want to stop, but I want to stop. But it's her fault or this or that or this and that. Well, this is what accountability would do. Accountability is designed because we're not always in church, right? We go home after this, right? We don't stay the night here. We don't live on the campus. We go to church, and there's a time where we're going to have to be alone. And when we're alone, that's when we're have that opportunity with our girlfriend. That's when we're on the computer. That's when we're doing what we do. And that's when accountability comes in. You know, I can call this brother, hey, you know, I just need to talk because this temptation is just really getting on me. Hey, brother, let me pray with you. You know, and it sounds kind of corny maybe to you. Because I'll be honest, it sounded corny to me. Like I said, with accountability, I don't need accountability. But guess what? Without it, guys, you know, you find yourself in the same place. Or you're too cool. I've been going to church my whole life. I'm saved. I don't need an accountability partner. You guys know that pastors of large churches have accountability partners? That people that are been in ministry their whole lives, that know the Bible front and back, call people, make calls to people that are making sure that they're doing everything okay? You know that churches, mega churches with millions of dollar budgets have auditors come in for the sake of accountability so they can look at what's going on so they're not doing anything shady? Guys, we have to be, the reason is because the devil is too much of a liar, is too much of a thief to just want to leave you alone. Just because you're not messing with him by not inviting people doesn't mean he's not trying to mess with you. Well, why is he messing with me? I don't even do anything anyways. Well, hey, he doesn't think like that, I guess. He must like you or something. There must be something special inside of you. Because the devil is not going to leave you alone. But guess what? He is a beaten foe, right? Oh, man. Oh, man. Woo. Guys, accountability. I mean, what can you say? Can't live life without it. No, just kidding. And the reason why I want to express it so much is because it's little things. It's little things that can get us caught up. It's the little things that we think we have under control that will really spin us out. We won't get the opportunity because we think we're not good enough. Well, like I remember when I said about the sex things that you don't really want to stop, because deep down in your heart you don't really want to. Deep down in your heart, you don't really want to, but accountability might help you with that. Because it's the little things that are going to keep you from coming to church. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're high right now. Or maybe you're about to go get high afterwards. Maybe you have some planned after shift. Like when I was back in school, you're just looking at the clock. Don't worry, an hour and a half left. And then you're texting right now, making plans for after shift because you guys are going to go somewhere, do something. And it's the little things. Being here tonight isn't enough. You guys get that? Accountability. Last point tonight, we're going to let you guys go. I know I'm talking a lot. Actually, let me give you a verse because I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with it. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. Amen. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You guys know the verse, my yoke is easy, my burden is light? Guys, like we said, you were never meant to do it alone. Jesus, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And as a community, as Christians, we carry each other's burdens for each other. Don't be that person trying to do too much. You can put your back out. You're getting too old for that. All right? Don't try to do too much. It was never designed that way. You can't withhold that weight. You'll sink. You will sink. Last point. Number three. Takes us to a new level. Point number one, he breaks us. Point number two, he makes us. Last point, he takes us to a new level or greater heights in our walk. Proverbs chapter 27. Back in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 27. Verse number 17. Everybody okay tonight? As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Guys, as we're sharper, as we're getting in community, as we have people that are our accountability partners, we're going to be sharpened, guys. That's the only option. When good is with good, it's only going to be good. You're going to get sharper and it's going to take you to new heights. By being in a community, by being around people with like mind, it's not going to, how do you figure it's going to make you worse? Because if you have accountability around you, if you're breaking out of yourself and dying to your flesh, how do you figure that it's going to be worse for you? And I'm not saying everyone's life is perfect. I'm not saying you don't go through issues. I'm just saying, guys, stick with it. As iron sharpens iron, as you're with somebody in Christ, as you're in your community, as we sharpen each other, it's going to take you to a new level. Acts chapter 2. I think it's the last verse, okay? You guys cool? Acts chapter 2, verse number 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all as anyone had need. That's awesome community, right? Amen. 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Man, when I read this verse, it just makes it seem like it's a TV show, man. Sometimes I feel like I watch too much movies because I live in the movies. I'm waiting for the montage to come up when I can be fat and then I can just be like, yeah, I'm skinny. I just want to fast forward through stuff. But guess what, guys? Yeah. I've done that a long time, and the montage just does not happen. We really are living in real life. Life is not a movie, as my wife often reminds me. Guys, we gotta live this thing out for real. But it sounds so cool, right? These guys are selling their stuff. They're hanging out, man, breaking bread, eating at people's houses. Just sounds like, man, oh, what do you need? Oh, we got that. Come on. Hey, let's come here. You got food? Hey, whatever we need. It goes on 47. I'm sorry, at the end of 46. Breaking bread house to house, that they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, period. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Guys, what was happening? These guys are being a community, building each other up, not just in church, not just in preaching, but in eating and hanging out. These guys are going to each other's kids' birthday parties. These guys are going to the showers I'm talking about. And guess what? As this community is building, more are being added. More people are being saved. Amen. God wants to take us and do the same thing. If we can figure out how to do this community thing, if we can figure out how to build each other up, if we can figure out how to do life with one another, people's lives will be saved. Right? You don't know how many people build churches on Acts chapter 2 who just try to take Acts chapter 2. I mean, there's a church down the street, or there was, called Acts 2. That was just the name of the church. Acts chapter 2, because, guys, this is what the church was doing. And people were being saved by the thousands, guys, by the thousands. Tell me God doesn't want to do that here in San Bernardino? Yeah. Come on, guys. Okay. Guys. Sorry, I got a little bit too happy. Let me step back. Rewind. Okay. How do I say this? Okay. Like we're saying, community, building each other up, doing life together, hanging out, going out to eat, having people that are going to be there with you accountable, not only makes our lives better, takes our lives to new heights personally with our own family, but adds to the kingdom of heaven. Guys, remember how we said it's not just about you? Your life will get better. You'll have more friends. You'll be happier. You'll have your kids will have friends. I'm so blessed. We had dinner with a group of friends the other night, and we just all got to laugh, and we're going to raise our kids together, and we're just happy. And man, what a how blessed am I that I can do that? We have great friends, Angelina and I, that we can just kind of hang out with other people like-minded. And it's not just for ourselves. We don't just say, oh, we're so blessed, we're so lucky. But guys, we get to see lives changed every week. We get to see lives changed every week here at Shift. We get to see lives change on Sundays, on our services. I work with with Pastor Paul in the Spanish ministry, La Roca. And man, we've seen so much growth here in this room. We had to go to 2 services, and we're growing even more. Guys, this service started with, 87 people. Pastor Paul remembers when it was in the 80s. When people were coming, and they'd be in here, and he'd be standing up here with 80 people. Now it's in upwards within the 2 services in 500 adults, plus kids, plus youth. Awesome things are going on, guys, because lives are being changed because people are getting with each other. Man, it's so, we have a hospitality lounge in the back for our volunteers and the workers that serve with us in La Roca. And man, that place buzzes, man. There's kids running around, but these guys are doing life together. They're just enjoying life, and God is adding to their lives and to the kingdom through it. You guys feel me? You guys smell that? If I could say, you guys smell me? Who says that? What's his name? Dumb. Who am I talking about? What's his name? Anybody? No? Save people? Dang. Gosh. Oh, well. Okay. Guys, I think that's what God wants from us, guys. So that's about all I have for you guys tonight. But simple things. Awesome series on community. I feel God spoke to all of us each week. But guys, the series might be over. We might be going on to new things, guys. But our campaign, it's not even about the campaign. Community is what we have to do. That's our calling. When we're talking about relationships, we're talking about community. When we're talking about finances, we're talking about community. When we're talking about anything that you can think of, we're talking about community. So that's why the importance and the heart behind Shift Community is because we want to call each and every one of you guys to join us in the community, to change our lives, but also change the kingdom. Amen? Guys, go ahead and give God a hand if you guys got something tonight.